Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
They're showing Broadway in Nashville right now on ESPN for the Music City Bowl. I've never been there. Looks like so much fun.
You've never been to Broadway?
Never been to Nashville.
Wow. Yeah, you got to get out there, man.
That's a fun place, right? I don't know why I've never been there.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy.
You saw a country music artist?
Yeah, but like not, I didn't go to a concert of like a big country
star. Right, you walk into one of those little clubs, a little honky-tonk.
A honky-tonk. Yeah. It's crazy. But
it's just great. It's just a great party.
It's literally everybody's drunk. There's live music everywhere.
It's just one live music venue after another, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, I got sidetracked. This Music City Bowl, this looks like it's going to be a shootout as well. Should have taken the over in this game.
Damn, I think the over-under was at 41.
Was it that low?
Yeah, it was. Because Iowa
14-7 in the first quarter.
Isn't Iowa, don't they like not score points? Isn't that the whole thing with Iowa? They never score points.
Yeah, they score like 3 points a game.
Yeah.
But was that was last season though, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I mean,
but it carried over to this season.
This year too.
Well, I don't think it did, Jimmy. They got 14 points in the first quarter.
Yeah, that's all they got.
Anyway. Well, there's 3 quarters left. But anyway, Mike McDaniel spoke with the media today. Adam Beasley tweeted out this take. He says, my takeaways from the Mike McDaniel news conference, the Dolphins were gravely concerned that Tua Tagovailoa would have been a sitting duck in his condition Sunday and sat him so he didn't get seriously hurt. And big time concerns remain about his week 18 availability. Then David Furones, that's Adam Beasley from Pro Football Network. David Furones from the Sun Sentinel retweets Beasley's tweet and says, Adam Beasley plays Mike McDaniel translator accurately here. And we're going to talk with Mike Cugno about it this hour. But that does seem to be the prevailing takeaway. I didn't watch the press conference because we were on the air. So I'm just, you know, getting the vibe from Twitter. Barry Jackson from the Miami Herald says, Dolphins did not want to say specifically what significant injury Tua is precisely at risk of if he plays without enough healing to the satisfaction of doctors who must clear him. But the fact that McDaniel already knows Tyler Huntley will take more practice reps than Tua this week is notable. So it seems as if they're kind of preparing for Tyler Huntley to be the starter. I don't think it's going to matter against the Jets based on what I saw from Huntley and the Dolphins against the Browns. I think the Jets may be, I mean, Sauce Gardner said yesterday, I think some guys just threw in the towel. You ain't getting that. Did you see them walk in with the boombox, by the way?
Yeah,
did you see that video on Twitter?
I did.
I mean, that team's a dumpster fire. So I don't know. Again, maybe they go with Tyrod Taylor and he gives them a little bit of a spark. But I mean, if you thought the Browns had tapped out on the season watching yesterday's game, can you imagine what this Jets team is going to look like Sunday?
Well, Sauce Gardner had one of the dumbest plays I've ever seen in football. Yesterday as well. I mean, it didn't matter, Hawk, but the guy's trying to make a play, and it led to a worse situation for the New York Jets. Did you see the report prior to the game yesterday? I think it was a report regarding Sauce Gardner that if Aaron Rodgers was back next year, he would force a trade.
I don't think that was Sauce Gardner, though.
Oh, wasn't? Was it Breece Hall then?
I think it was the receiver. No, it wasn't Hall. It was drawing a blank in his name. It wasn't Sauce. Who's the receiver?
For the Jets, right?
Yeah.
Man.
It doesn't matter. Regardless, it wasn't Sauce, though. Although I don't think anyone on that team loves him. Like, I think that's pretty evident.
Oh, Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson.
That's who I was thinking of yesterday, by the way. Not Sauce Gardner. Garrett Wilson trying to make a play, ends up getting the ball punched out, and it caused a fumble. Aaron Rodgers on his second interception also gets flagged for an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Pushed
so funny.
The DB out of bounds. I mean, I'm watching that game yesterday, Hawk, and I'm saying this guy's
a clown
going,
show.
He's going out clown sad. Show. Real yeah. bad.
Yeah. Like, you've seen stars go out before, and, you know, everybody thinks of what? Patrick Ewing. What was it? A Sonics jersey?
Or like the Rockets? Was it with the Rockets?
Like, just awful looks. But a lot of times, these guys are playing 3 minutes, 4 minutes. Aaron Rodgers is the starting quarterback. You know, it's different than someone chasing a ring in the NBA, or even like, you know, I'm talking about chasing a ring. There was all this talk about Calais Campbell being released, but now obviously that's not going to happen. That dude was a stud yesterday.
So good.
Like,
so good.
It's ridiculous what he's doing. Aaron Rodgers just looks sad out there. It's a joke.
It's Shaq in a Celtics jersey.
Right.
It's Shaquille O'Neal trying to go win a ring in Boston in Beantown. And he weighs 200 pounds more than he should at the tail end of his career. And he can't play anymore. Like, it was hard to watch. I'm enjoying it, though.
What was the Patrick Ewing season? Though?
Yeah.
What am I thinking of?
The Magic or the Sonics? He played for the Sonics and then a year with the Magic before he retired.
Yeah, I think it's the Sonics one that I'm thinking of. But Aaron Rodgers, man. Like, holy mackerel. So, we're going to talk Dolphins with Cunha. There's something else I want to talk to him about. He and I were all over. You remember Josh Appel last week? Was it on this show told us that he was flying to Tampa?
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago. He did tell us that, yeah.
No, because he did the game this Saturday. He did the game this Sunday Tampa yesterday.
It was at the Christmas event, right? Wasn't that when Appel last joined the show?
No, because he hadn't done a Bucs game. Maybe it was an off-air conversation I had with him. I don't know. Oh, you know what? I think it was off-air. Regardless, Josh Appel yesterday was on the national call for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game with the duck on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And you like that, Jimmy? How often do you see a duck on the field? It was fun. Returning a kick. Did you see that, Solana?
It was amazing. And his call was excellent.
So, Josh Appel, who lives in Fort Lauderdale, flew to Tampa on Saturday to call the Bucs game. And I was giving him holy hell for it. I'm like, bro, you don't save any time. It's a 3.5-hour drive to Tampa, maybe 4 hours. By the time you drive to FLL, park, get to the gate, wait, fly to Tampa, TPA, and then drive to the gate, like, what are you saving? What are you doing? And he's flying Silver Airlines.
What?
Which already, you're like, huh? What are we doing here?
Silver, are you joking? Is that an airline?
No, Silver. Yeah, Silver.
Silver Airline.
Yeah.
Bro.
You've seen silver planes before at FLL.
I don't think I have, man. I've never heard of Silver Airlines.
So I'm giving them crap for it. Here's a... as he calls it yesterday, the bird.
Oh, my God. That's embarrassing, man.
So I'm giving him hell. And so he flies. But then what happens is he gets to the gate at Tampa yesterday after the game. He's watching the Dolphins game. But now he's getting on this Silver Airlines plane that has no internet. It doesn't have engines. It's got propellers. So, doesn't have internet, so he's like, all right, I got to go radio silent. And this is like at the end where you still didn't know if the Dolphins were going to blow this game or not. And I'm on a text thread with Appel and Mike Cunha because I had tweeted, you know, Appel had said something about there was a place in Tampa Airport called Duckies or whatever.
The duck
had just been on the field. And I said, why don't you drive from Tampa like a normal person? And Cuño saw that, and we started texting. And Cuño and I are just abusing Appel for flying. And he's like, you guys can't do math. I'm saving a ton of time, whatever. I'm like, what time did you leave Tampa Stadium? And, you know, I'm trying to do the math. Long story short, it's 9 p.m. last night. He hasn't taken off.
Oh.
The thing is so delayed, and Cuño and I are riding him, and he will not acknowledge he was wrong. He will not acknowledge that he was wrong to fly instead of driving. He would have been home by the time that he left. But anyway, I want to talk to Cuño about it, and Josh Appel is already preparing his rebuttal for tomorrow when he fills in for us.
Awesome.
But it's so ridiculous. Why would you fly to Tampa and back when you can drive in 3.5-4 hours? There's plenty of sports to listen to on Saturday and Sunday. You don't want to miss anything. You stop and grab some food if you're hungry. Yeehaw Junction is the time of your life. And to choose to fly, to go to the airport, go through security, then wait and have the potential for a delayed flight, which is exactly what he got. What are you doing?
Crazy.
I mean, what are you, Leonardo DiCaprio? You got to fly everywhere on your private jet and use up all our fossil fuels?
I'll tell you what, man. Leo's never stepping foot in a Silver Airlines bird. I'll tell you that much.
Ridiculous. Anyway, I want to talk to Cuño about that. There's also sound I want to play today. Is it Emmanuel Acho?
Yeah,
who talked about Cam Ward?
Yeah.
So Emmanuel Acho on Fox. Do you have this now or you want to do it later?
Yeah, we could play right now.
So we were talking with John Michaels in the last segment about Cam Ward. Now, I don't think Emmanuel Acho has it right here, by the way. I think his facts are wrong. But here's Emmanuel Acho on FS1 talking about Cam Ward not playing in the second half.
Sitting out at halftime after breaking a record is wild because Cam Ward, you stood on your team's shoulders and you used your teammates to break a record. But then when your teammates needed to use you to win the game, you were nowhere to be found. Yeah. I have no issue with Cam Ward sitting out a bowl game. Sit out. I got no issue with Cam Ward wanting to play till halftime just to run out with his teammates one more time and then stopping. I have a complete issue with his intention and his motivation for doing so. Because his intention was selfish. I wanted to separate myself from the all-time record above Case Keenum by 3 passing touchdowns. And now that I've used you, and used all my teammates to get the record selfishly, now when y'all need me, I'm a chill. Understand, Miami could have won 11 games in a season for the first time in 21 years.
Wow.
So your program needed you to make history. You used your program to make history, but when they needed you to help them make history, you weren't there. It's the issue with college football. Mm. It's me. I'm not playing. I want to transfer. Coaches, y'all aren't immune either. I've seen coaches say, hey, we're going to build a real strong program here, get an offer, and one day later, they gone. So coaches, y'all the problem too. I'm not going to act fake outraged because this is the world in which we live in, but I do want to expose the flaws of the selfishness in the ultimate team sport. I had an issue with it too, Bob.
Now, I don't think he's right there. I don't think Cam Ward was playing to break a record and then was sitting. I believe he was intending to play no more than one half, period, end of story. And if he didn't break the record in the first half, I don't think he'd have been out there in the second half. I will tell you that Emmanuel Acho has just tweeted a new tweet and a video that goes along with it. And he says, Mario Cristobal wants to stay quiet to the detriment of Cam Ward and the fan base. But I just received the other side to the Cam Ward situation from those in the know. And then he's going on to explain it. I can't watch it right now because we're on the air. So I think Emmanuel Acho is saying, I got that take wrong, which is what I said at the beginning of the show. I don't know why Mario made it sound so secretive at the end of the game by saying that's a private matter. And we don't like just say, yeah, we were never going to play him beyond the first half. We were thrilled that he was giving us a half. We also needed to see Emery Williams out there. We never were going to play him longer than a half, period, end of story. And that takes all the burden off Cam Ward's shoulders. But for whatever reason, Mario always makes everything a little more complicated than it needs to be.
This is what Cristobal said, by the way, after the game.
Well, I think all meetings with players and decisions like that, we make them in private and we keep them in private. You know, so I'll defer not to answering questions as it regards and as it relates to that. But I know he played his best while he was in there, and certainly Emery tried his best as well. Like Jalen said, we were rushing the ball really, really well, and just came up short.
I mean, he makes it sound like it was Cam Ward's unilateral decision just by giving that kind of answer, and I don't think that was the situation at all.
Not only that, but if he wasn't interested in Cam just playing a half, then he could have told him,
hey, we'll go with Emery Williams.
Right. It's fine, man. You did what you did this season. We're very grateful for you, but I'd rather go with Emery the entire four quarters. He clearly signed off on this decision at some point, Hawk, whether he did it begrudgingly or not. He signed off, and my bigger issue with Emmanuel Acho, his original point, and if he walked it back, that's fine. So what if those were his intentions? He gave the Miami Hurricanes the best season of quarterbacking in over two decades and maybe the best quarterback season in a Canes uniform ever. So
and
what?
By the way, Mario didn't give him the opportunity against Syracuse to have a moment to win that game. So, you know, if you only look at it through what, like, I told you, the moment Mario kicked that field goal instead of letting Cam Ward go for it on fourth down and lead the team into the end zone, like, at that moment, I'd have understood if Cam said, yeah, I'm kind of done. I'm not playing a meaningless bowl game. Like, you had a chance to put everything on my shoulders. So for Emmanuel Acho to say, oh, when you needed them, well, no, also the team didn't give him a chance to put everything on his shoulders at the end of that Syracuse game.
Hawk, he scored 31 points in the first half.
You aren't going to get one slanderous word out of my mouth when it comes to Cam Ward.
Even if it was, hey guys, I want to go break this record. Good. They should go out there for Cam Ward to help him try to break a record. Even if that was, I don't think it was. I'm just saying, even if those were selfish intentions, the guy scored 31 points in the first half and gave the Hurricanes a cushion going into the second half again after having a 21-point cushion against Syracuse. And his defense blew that game, blew his chance at going to the college football playoffs, and they once again blew a fourth-quarter lead to a team that they should have smoked. It's not Cam Ward's fault. Like, had they won that game yesterday, Hawk, had they gotten the fourth down stop that they needed in the fourth quarter that would have iced the game. Is anybody outraged at Cam Ward?
No.
No. It's not his fault they blew the game. They blew the game because Lance Guidry doesn't know how to coach a defense.
Which is why they blew the Syracuse game.
Right.
All right, let's get a quick look at the headlines because Mike Cuno is going to join us and I want to have enough time with him. So real quick look at the headlines with Solana, brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia, Iowa, Mizzou, 14-14 in the second quarter. Still 10 minutes in the second quarter.
So with the Dolphins' victory yesterday, they're 8-8 in the hunt, on the bubble, however you want to phrase it. Here's what needs to happen.
Playoff bound.
Maybe. Here's what needs to happen for the Dolphins to secure a playoff spot in week 18 of the NFL season. By the way, the schedule is set. Dolphins play the Jets 4:25 p.m. The Denver Broncos and the Kansas City Chiefs will play at 4:25 p.m. as well. If the
Broncos-Chiefs line, do you know?
Well, I don't know if we know for sure that Patrick Mahomes.
Think we know. Okay. I think we know.
All right. So Carson Wentz will be starting. It's his birthday today, by the way. Carson Wentz. Happy birthday, but you better play good on Sunday, yeah. You bum.
You bastard. Denver is a 10-point favorite.
Oh, my God.
Over the Chiefs.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Dolphins are 1.5-point favorites over the Jets. Denver is a 10-point favorite over KC.
I imagine if Tua ends up playing on Sunday, that line will shift heavily in favor of the Miami Dolphins.
I don't know how much though, because how mobile could he be?
Yeah.
It might go up to three. Might go up to three.
It opened for the Browns at 6.5, right? That's what it opened at?
Yes.
It was down to 3 yesterday at kickoff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if the Broncos do end up getting upset by the Kansas City Chiefs, who, you know, if you have a stomachache, you're not going to play in that game. The Broncos get upset, and the Dolphins win, then they're in. Period, end of story. They will play the Buffalo Bills, who won yesterday against the New York Jets. They look good, man. They look really, really good. But they'll play the Buffalo Bills in the first round of the NFL playoffs at Buffalo.
All right.
If the Dolphins win, but the Broncos win, then it doesn't matter. Thank you very much, by the way, to the New York Football Giants, who out of nowhere figured out how to score points. Drew Lock, Malik Nabers look like Marino to Duper because, oh my God, did Malik Nabers have a game yesterday? They dropped 45 points on Joe Flacco and the Indianapolis Colts to eliminate
the
Colts.
All I needed to cash a parlay was one Drew Lock interception, and he has the best game of his life.
Best game. Hawk, put the house on the Broncos money line next Sunday. We need you. Come on. We need you. Bet the Broncos. It's a guaranteed L.
Let's see what the money line is. Minus 550. Can I just take KC plus the points? Or Denver laying the points?
Denver
be money line.
Denver money line. We need you. Come on. The Heat, they beat the Rockets last night. Tyler Hero got thrown to the ground by that loser, Amen Thompson. That whole Rockets organization, literally bunch of phonies, every single one of them, starting with the head coach, Ime Udoka. Every time his team loses, feels the need to get ejected from the game. Just a total bum. The Heat, they're 16-14, 2-1 on their road trip. Three-game homestand begins Wednesday versus the Pelicans. I imagine we'll find out, I don't know, by the end of, hopefully, of this show, if Amen Thompson's going to be suspended by the NBA. I mean,
he better be.
I would run through a brick wall. I would go to war for Terry Rozier. I'll tell you that much. Heat lifer Terry Rozier defending Tyler Hero. My guy. And the Panthers, they play tonight.
Also wouldn't kill you to hit a three once in a while, too.
Yeah.
Did love seeing you at the bottom of that pile, though.
How about don't go 0-for-8 from three? Maybe win that game a little easier. But he didn't hesitate, man. Tyler gets thrown to the ground.
There. Yeah, he was ready to go. Yep.
He was down to grapple with Amen Thompson. Yep. He's like, let's go. Yeah.
It was impressive.
He's about that life, bro. He is about that life. I imagine UD, they're going to pass each other in the locker room. UD's just going to give him a head nod.
Give him a wedding cake.
Dolphins sent over a couple extra wedding cakes that they have left over from last year. Vic Fangio's.
I didn't realize how stupid that thing was.
Vic Fangio's fridge in his home in Philadelphia, just his freezer, just a bunch of cakes left
cakes.
Over. Tonight, Monday Night Football, last one of the year, right? There's no Monday Night Football next week. Yeah, Niners versus Lions.
All right,
Hawk, your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Partly cloudy, be in the 70s today. That is your weather.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
All right, Miami!
Hawk and Crowder.
Mike Cuno's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, and at toyotaofhollywood.com. Cuno, sports anchor, CBS 4 in Miami, and you see him on Dolphins Weekly Live and the Dolphins postgame show on CBS 4 as well. See him nationally on CBS Sports HQ. Do you believe, Cuno? Do you believe that somehow the Dolphins take care of business against the Jets? That's not too hard to believe, but somehow Kansas City's backups can beat a Denver team that needs to win to get in on Sunday? Do you believe?
What has me believing is you don't get starts in the NFL every day. Carson Wentz certainly hasn't had that many in the last few years. So some of these guys who are playing are probably playing their butts off because they haven't gotten to a game in a while. So, you know, don't discount a hungry group of players that never get in. Probably been waiting a long time all season to get some action. So I would not put it past the Chiefs to figure out a way to beat the Broncos.
There you go. There's your blog headline, Solana. Get that out nationally. CBS Sports is Mike Cuno. Carson Wentz, heart of a champion.
That's right.
Isn't there a reason why he's not playing games?
No, I hope he's right. No, he might look at Sam Darnold or Geno Smith and say, hey, you know what? Let me go out there and do my thing, and maybe Baker Mayfield, and maybe I can get out there and do the same thing. I'm with you, Cunha. There's a chance.
It's a long shot. It's a long shot for sure. But at the end of the day, these are grown men. They are professionals. They are going to play with some sort of pride. They're not going to go out there and get their heads kicked in for 60 minutes willingly. So I got to imagine, you know, that, and it's the Chiefs. It's not like they're it's a Jets, like an organization that has just been kind of dysfunctional forever. No, this is a pretty professional organization, obviously, if they're going for three straight Super Bowls.
And what are we expecting based on what Mike McDaniel said earlier today, that Tyler Huntley will be the starter on Sunday? I mean, is that what we're reading between the lines?
Yeah, I was there. I was there for the press conference. And if I'm reading the tea leaves, to hear him say that Tyler's going to get the bulk of the reps this week, they're going to have the game plans for both quarterbacks. And for me, I'm leaning that Huntley's going to end up playing this week. That's just me. I did not get a whole lot of confidence from Mike McDaniel to lead me to believe that Tua's a slam dunk to be ready this week, especially if he wasn't able to protect himself yesterday. Is he going to be healthy enough to protect himself 7 days later? I can't answer that question.
Well, what exactly did he say about Tua? Like, obviously, you guys pressed him on you know, what kept Tua out, but he was not specific on what it was. But what did he lead you to believe?
So he said the injury happened in Houston outside the pocket, then got worse after he took a hit about midfield against the 49ers, and just kind of that soreness, if you will, just never got better throughout the week as they led up to this game against Cleveland. And that's why they couldn't put him in there, because he couldn't necessarily protect himself in the pocket with the bad hip. Now, he did mention it's, you know, same hip but different injury, it sounds like, than what he had in college, which I guess is a good thing. But if you can't protect yourself, what's going to happen? To me, it's like, what changes in 7 days? Now, I got to believe that Tua, it's killing Tua not to be in there. Like, he probably would love to gut it out. But, you know, football is a violent game. And if you can't protect yourself, then you're not doing the team any services being out there. You know, to go out and win a game and to be a football player, it's you have to play this game without, you know, hesitation, because the second you hesitate, then you can get really hurt. And so that's why I just think, to me, especially the way Snoop played against the Browns, you saw the efficiency, he ran the offense well, even with the running game not necessarily there. That's what leads me to believe that right now, if I had to be a fly on the wall, I would guess that Tyler Huntley ends up playing Sunday.
I'm glad you brought up that Tua probably is dying to be out there and playing. Don't you think if on Truth Serum you ask Tua, he feels at this point in the season he has missed 5 games that he didn't need to miss?
No, because I think concussions, you have to get all the answers on the head injuries before you go out there. You have to make sure, and as we keep hearing, time is really the thing with the head injuries that really protects you from having another one. So, he probably would say
four games.
He would love to have been out there.
Four games that you need to miss. Like, I think if you asked him to be truthful, he would tell you he did not need to miss at least 4 of those 5 games that he's now with, maybe 6.
But that could also be you know, the mindset of someone who's under 30 who still thinks they're invincible, right?
Sure.
And you know, so that's why you hear oftentimes with the Dolphins, you have to protect the player from themselves. That's one of those situations, in which I'm totally fine with.
I know Hawk's going to call me a Tua hater, but kind of piggybacking off of that notion, Cunha, where's your head at in terms of another season where the Dolphins starting quarterback that they invested a lot of money into isn't available?
It's the first season in 2 seasons.
Week 17, week 18. Like, I know right now,
last season.
Right now, I'm celebrating a Dolphins victory. They're playing meaningful football week 18.
Doesn't
but
sound like you are.
When you kind of look at the macro of the situation, like how concerning is this that, again, Tua, with another injury, is not available at the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, it stinks, right? Like, that's there's no other way to put it. But I think what we saw the last couple seasons is Tua's worth, definitely, what he means to this team, how good they can be, and how their ceiling is highest when he's in there. Let's say the Dolphins do get in the playoffs. What hurts, I think, fans the most is they'd been waiting for a consistent winner with this team for a long time. And let's say the Dolphins get in the playoffs this year, but Tua cannot play. Then you're looking at three straight playoff appearances with three different quarterbacks under center for that playoff game. And to me, that's where like the frustration lies, is like, you've been waiting so long for this ship to get back on the right course ever since basically Dan Marino, or if you want to go back to Jay Fiedler, I guess. And just to not be all the way healthy every year this time of the year, like just to not have your starting quarterback is just a gut punch. I know he played last year in Kansas City, but their defense was depleted once again. But that's to me is where it's like, that's what I think hurts the most for fans. But you can't make the argument that this team isn't at its best when Tua's on the field.
Mike Cugno travels a lot for work. Any broadcaster does. He went to school in Tallahassee, which is a fair drive in Florida. So I was saying earlier in the show, Josh Appel, who's filling in for us tomorrow and Thursday, Josh Appel was on the call nationally of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game yesterday for Sports USA. And he chose to fly from Fort Lauderdale to Tampa on Saturday and then fly back to Fort Lauderdale from Tampa yesterday after the game. And you and I were giving him the business for it. I was being serious. I know you were as well. What do you make of that situation? What do you make of that decision by Josh Appel?
There is a lot to unpack here, but let's start with the very basics. If you can get anywhere on less than a tank of gas, do not go to an airport. What is the point of that?
That's a great like rule.
Yeah, in terms of time, headache, there is no pleasant experience at an airport ever, right? Like, there is always a headache somewhere. Josh obviously had headaches because they got delayed yesterday. The airplane, Silver Air, I never heard of this Silver Airline. I thought he was making it up until he sent me a picture of the plane. And then the plane had propellers on it, which is one generation removed from whatever the hell the Wright brothers were flying back in like the 1800s. So already there, I can't even get on board. I wouldn't get on board with that decision, but I can't get on board with his decision. There was nothing redeeming about what Josh did yesterday, and it made me upset. It ruined the second half of that Dolphins game for me, because I'm supposed to be getting ready for, you know, the post-game show, and all I could think about is this guy waiting in, you know, at some gate in Tampa for 5 hours when he could have been home already eating ice cream.
Right. It didn't make any decision. And then the fact that he would not acknowledge that it was a bad decision made it more infuriating.
He dug his heels in. You know, I will give him that as a stubborn person. I can see where he's coming from. He's going to fight to the bitter end. But yeah, there's no need on this one to look like Jon Snow against, you know, an incoming army all by yourself. There is no need to fight
incoming army of me and
fighting
you.
Against society, right? It was just, and here's the other thing: is I've done that. I've driven after a game, a 1 o'clock game in Tampa, back to Miami to host like the evening shows that night here at CBS Miami. So it's not impossible, and it's not the worst thing in the world. It's a 3.5-hour drive.
It's not terrible. Yeah. Did you ever fly from Tallahassee to Miami?
I did, and that was great just because the drive is 8 hours, and that's a rough drive. Yeah. You're basically – the state of Florida is long. I don't know if people have ever looked at a map, but wow, what a haul that is. The only problem with flying from Tallahassee to Miami is because there's so few flights, it's an expensive flight to get, and they're hard to get. There's like two a day. They're like on the smallest planes ever. So I had done it a couple times, but rarely, just because how expensive they are.
But this was purely a flex by Appel, right? Like
he
could have driven, but because he's getting this airline flight comped by his broadcasting company, he decided, oh, I'm going to go to the airport. Like, I'm going to be big man, big broadcaster, and fly rather than just do something more convenient.
But correct me if I'm wrong.
Right.
Solana, didn't you once fly to Orlando to meet your family at Disney World?
Yeah, but there was very different circumstances. No joke. I was coming back with them. So rather than driving my own car up there, I only took a one-way flight and I got dropped off at the airport. But I was coming back with the family because there was room in the car. I've gone to Tampa 2 times with the Dolphins. I drove. Mm-hmm. I could have flown with the team, which is a luxury in itself. But I drove because I said, I don't want to have to go to the airport in a bus with the Dolphins and fly back. And then went straight home.
None of it makes any sense. There's no – I don't know. I think Solana's right, though. It's nothing more than a flex.
A flex by Appel. That's it. That's all it was.
Yeah. Very odd flex. I would have kept that flex under wraps.
Yeah. Really weird.
So what time did he get home? Like 2 in the morning?
What time did he get home last night, Cunha?
I don't know. But Solana, what I'm telling you, he was at the airport for the second half. The game ended. I did a 90-minute post-game show. I got home. I went to the gym. And this guy, I don't think, was home yet. Like, it was it was insane.
Right. Right. But acknowledging up and down on our text thread that he made the right decision, that Cunha and I are wrong. Also, what do you think, Cunha? He referred to the airplane on the text with us as the bird. What do you think of the guy who calls his plane a bird?
That's him doubling down on bad life decisions. That's all that was.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
You look out the window at the gate and you go, "Oh, the bird is here." That's the guy who flies from Tampa to Fort Lauderdale. The guy who looks out the gate window and says, "Oh, the bird is here."
The bird. Yeah.
Yeah, but
the bird. By the way, that bird that was on the field could have walked home faster to Miami.
He would have had a quicker flight on that duck other than Silver Airlines.
Hawk, what about the guy who subtly drops in? He got in a late workout after a long days of work.
Yeah, but I mean, would Cunha be Cunha if he didn't drop that in?
a little sore today, you know, did a little back and buys. A little chest and try this morning. Yeah, couple workouts last 12 hours.
Do you hate the New Year's resolution gym goers, Cunha? Like, I imagine that certainly rubs you the wrong way.
It drives me insane. But here's the problem: is it started this year after Christmas? I guess a few people went a little too crazy on Noche Buena because Christmas Day, the 26th Boxing Day, it was a little too crowded. For my liking, but so maybe it thins out a little faster.
You try to intimidate them?
Do I?
Just makes them uncomfortable because that's what happens. These new people, they join a gym, and guys like you make them uncomfortable, and you cause them a life of diabetes and high blood pressure.
Right. I scoff at them. Like, oh, 25-pound curls? What are we doing? What are we, children?
You noticeably scoff at them, like audibly, so they know.
I do. Okay, so some guy the other day was FaceTiming his girlfriend in the gym, and he put the phone on the rack of weights, like the dumbbells. Oh. And that guy I made it noticeable that a lot of people were annoyed with him.
Yeah.
So I grabbed the weights like right in front, like right underneath his, weights just to get him out of the way and all that stuff. Yeah, like that stuff I don't have time for.
Cunha, have you ever sent a shirtless gym mirror selfie?
No.
I believe he sent one to me. I believe if I go through my text thread, I think I have one.
Yeah. Mark Hockman is real close to Mrs. Cunha in my phone. So, yeah.
I'm not even kidding. I think I have one. What do you go to one of these foo-foo gyms or you go to like a Planet Fitness?
I'm not going to tell people where I work out. I'm not giving away the secrets.
The Planet Fitness is the foo-foo gym. Like, Cunha wouldn't be caught dead. I would guess, Cunha, you don't have to reveal it, but in a Planet Fitness. Like, they don't have...
Well, foo-foo is a high-class, expensive gym.
Oh, I got
Planet
you.
Fitness, the opposite. Foo-foo is the...
I will say that. I go to multiple gyms. I make sure that there's a gym near my house open at all hours of the day.
So you have multiple gym memberships?
Sure.
Well, do you?
Well, one, I just kind of walk in and no one tells me anything, so.
Because you're Mike Cunha?
I hope so. I hope that's why it's working.
All right, Mike Cunha from CBS4. We appreciate your time, and I appreciate your honest take on Josh Appel because it was kind of ridiculous what he pulled yesterday. And not even to mention, because I know you're an environmentalist, Cuño, I mean, he's ripping apart the chlorofluorocarbons and everything else that comes with flying.
Right.
The carbon footprint is about as tall as he is right now.
Yeah. So I mean, it's crazy, right? It's crazy.
It's really important. Yeah. See, that's the problem is he doesn't get it. See that duck? That duck in the field was lost because he's lost environment and habitat from all these people flying.
How many turtles do you think Appel killed by flying yesterday from Tampa?
All of them.
Yeah, he killed all the turtles.
Also, he could get.
Are you guys sending someone to New York for the Jets game? Is it big enough for that?
Kimbo Camper is always on the road for us.
Well, I meant like in addition.
No, because I think so much is up in the air with what another team does. If the Dolphins, I think, were controllers of their own destiny, then probably. But
if they went to the playoffs, you'd have team coverage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll be out there in minus 30 degree weather in Buffalo or Kansas City again, wherever they end up.
All right. Very good. Mike Cuño, CBS4. We love you, Mike. Happy New Year.
Love you, too.
Happy New Year.
It's not Happy New Year yet.
All right. Well, yeah, I can still say it, though. I'm not going to talk to you till New Year, right?
Technically, yes.
So
it's
Happy
two days
New Year.
Away. Okay. Talk to you next year.
See you, Cuño. All right, we'll take a break. 4 o'clock hour is coming next.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
All right, Miami!
Hawk and Crowder.